I hope would have been a full day of devotional service. You comfortable? Your head's not too close to the table.
Okay.
So I think I was telling someone this morning how in the 70s at New Dwarka, it was the normal thing after a day of devotional service. Everybody, Sankirtan devotees, brahmacharis, householders, kids, not all the householders, but at least half of them, they would go to Sundarti, 7 o'clock. It would be like, you know, devotees there for Sundarti, then have ecstatic kirtan, and then Nectar Devotion Bhagavad Gita class, finish off the day. It was known as the ISKCON sandwich. How far do you go back, such?
78, 79.
Was it still going on then? 78, 79?
Yeah. Until 82, 81.
Yeah. Yeah, 76, 77. It was like the big nighttime event. We should always try to organize our life so that we have maximum chance for glorifying Krishna. So that I wanted to hear if you had any questions about anything. So I'll be leaving your association tomorrow, early afternoon. Actually, I didn't tell anyone, but Krishna willing, I'll return for 2 days at the end of the month. April 26th morning to April 28th night. So, do you have any questions about anything? Yeah.
The nectar devotion is stating that a disciple should glorify his master. Can you elaborate a bit how he can do this?
Well, by your devotional efforts, you'll give credit to your spiritual master. When the temple president tells me that my disciples are doing very nicely, makes me feel like I can show my face in front of Srila Prabhupada. I mean, if he tells me that, you know, someone's facing out or in Maya, then I feel like I want to hide my face.
May I ask you,
I'd love to hear the verses if they're from the Shastra. Remind you of Krishna. Any other questions?
I'm reading Srimad Bhagavatam from the ninth canto, and for some reason I was reading it and this word came into my head, and I don't know if there's I can't get it out of my head, it's been in my head for 3 days. Virochana or Virochana? Do you have any references in Shastra of that word or that name? Virochana?
Virochana is the father of Bali Maharaj.
Okay.
Father or the son? Vairochana. Bali Maharaj is also known as Vairochana, so he's the son of Vairochana. That really help you?
Okay.
Anything else? I want some questions that are really like, you know, about the gut issues of life. Yes? What is your name?
Monica.
Monica, all right.
I'm from London, and I've been traveling as well.
Seeing sights?
As well. Yes, and visiting the temple as well.
Mm-hmm. I've seen you in London before.
I don't think so. In terms of chanting, we try very hard to focus, but when thoughts come up, sometimes it's important to address the thoughts, and sometimes I find I just want to push them away. And this is, it's actually my chanting, instead of praying for service, is it better to put some time aside where you pray for service and then try and focus on the chanting? Or do you try and pray for the service and think of what kind of service?
These are very nice questions.
Oh, there's too many.
No, it's very good questions. Questions about chanting Hare Krishna. When you chant, the goal is just to chant. You're depending on Krishna. The goal is to let the sound vibration roll off your tongue into your ear. That's all. Now, getting to that goal will take some practice, because the mind spins with all kinds of turbulence because of many lifetimes of contamination. I was just discussing with someone, I think it was my godbrother Gopal Bhatta. I was telling him how Prabhupada said, don't be afraid of the tug of war in Hare Krishna. Don't be afraid or get discouraged or distraught that there seems to be a tug of war between, you know, what your mind is thinking and the Hare Krishna mantra. If you just go on sincerely trying to hear the holy name every day, for sure Krishna will win the tug of war, because the holy name is more attractive than all the mental debris that's floating around inside your head. So have full confidence, but be prepared to make a career out of attentive chanting. And the chanting in of itself is asking Krishna, please engage me in your service. So if you try to hear your japa, then Krishna is impressed that you really want to engage in service. And when you're chanting your japa, there's nothing you have to think about. Nothing important that you have to think about at that time. Japa time is for japa time. If it's something you think is important, like what I do, something I actually remember, I have to check on an airline ticket. I write it on a piece of paper and then forget it, go on chanting. This is a system of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. You can carry a little notepad and pencil with you, and something comes and you can just write it down and then go on chanting. Or if some emotional issue comes up that you feel you have to address, you can write it on a piece of paper. I've got to worry about this. Get back to it later after you finish chanting. How's that, Jeff?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Let's see if someone else has a question. Yes? Anyone? Let's see if someone else has a question. Yes?
During chanting, especially in the temple, when I walk around the temple and chant, I sometimes stop and look at the paintings and chant like at Krishna. What do you think about that?
Krishna is already there with you as the holy name. Let me put it this way. There are many different things you can do to help you fix your mind, but ultimately you're going to find that the best thing is just to try to hear the holy name. So rather than say, don't look at pictures, or don't, you know, I'm not going to do that, I'm just going to say, ultimately you'll find that the best way to chant is simply to hear. And then when you actually hear the holy name, the form of the Lord spontaneously appears in your mind. You don't have to force it. It's not artificial. Sri Krishna Namadi. First the holy name, then form, qualities, and pastimes. They come to you. But, you know, I chant looking at Prabhupada's murti in the temple room, but it makes me conscious that I'm chanting for the pleasure of my spiritual master. I can say I'm not like focusing on the murti on the Vyasa-san. But, you know, I don't want to close my eyes. And yes, so something is there in front of the eyes. So why not? Prabhupada's murti, but I'm not like focusing. I'm on the murti. I'm focusing on the sound. You know what I mean? You know, if I'm sitting here, like this morning I was a bit too weak to chant in the temple room, so I just sat sitting here. So my eyes might pass over the faces of the Dwarkadesh there on the wall. But the main thing I'm focusing on is the sound of the holy name. Everything else, all the other senses and their perceptions are in the background. You understand? Let us not be afraid to try and hear the holy name. Take shelter of the holy name. Don't think that your senses are going to be deprived. Everyone's afraid of that. Especially Westerners in Kali Yuga, they're really afraid of their senses being deprived. I don't know if I can just hear, you know, what about my other senses? Everyone's very nervous about that, but in some way they'll be missing out on some sense stimuli by just hearing the holy name. Anything else? Yes? Speak louder, please.
Maybe you can inspire us a little bit about book distribution.
Book distribution expands from the chanting of the holy name. There's your japa, and then there's the small mridanga, kirtan, and then there's a big mridanga, the book distribution. So it all expands from your chanting of the holy name into kirtan, then into sankirtan. And it goes the other way too. Your absorption in sankirtan makes you relish the kirtan, makes you relish your japa. So it goes back and forth like that. And this way your whole life will be safe and sound. That's simple living, and I think you're just surrounded by japa, kirtan, and sankirtan. Your old friend.
So it seems even during the chanting that mine's always active.
Mm-hmm.
And generally what's happening with my mind in the morning or while chanting or spaced out or it's just listening, then always that thought like you know, why are you doing this? Sometimes even French people come to me and say, hey, you're chanting somebody else's name. But or it's reevaluating or actually trying to understand with what attitude are you chanting, but it's always going on.
As I said, don't be afraid of the tug of war, Prabhupada said. Krishna's name will win. Just dedicate yourself to this lifetime career of hearing the holy name.
That's another mercy right from the book that it's one level of when you chant, there's the, you see the pastimes of Krishna. Bhagavatam also says, through the sound, that sound is followed by a picture. So, I was just wondering, before that stage, is it that mind is completely inactive? Or?
We're never inactive. We're always active. The senses are always active in Krishna's service. They're always never inactive. It's just your connection to the holy name increases in intensity. So that, just by hearing the sound Krishna, you actually realize that everything about Krishna is present, form, qualities, and pastime, as the quality of your chanting increases. Inactive. You don't want to be inactive. It's impossible anyway. Yes?
This is a statement that we want to, that we should cry for Krishna using for holy name. If we do not cry, then we should cry because we can cry. Cry for Krishna. We should cry and try to cry for our holy name. If that means, if that means money, then you should try to put some feeling, you know, like
chant from the heart. I've asked you all this before. You know what it's like to do something from your heart. Who here has never done anything from their heart? Who here has never put their heart into anything? Anyone? You never put your heart in anything? Anyone here? Krishna Pad, never put your heart in anything? Yeah? Never put your heart in anything? That knitting or something.
You should see your picture of Krishna.
The point is, you all know what it's like to put your heart into something, even if it was surfing or something. That is what the holy name should get, that kind of heartfelt energy. That's chanting from the heart. You know what it's like to put your heart into something. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing you should do when we're chanting. Not that you're chanting in a theoretical way, in a religious belief way, but your heart is longing for other things. You know, I know that so many times devotees may feel longing in the heart for some kind of relationship, some kind of affection, wanting to exchange feelings. When you feel that, you should know this belongs to the holy name. This is what my japa should be addressing. Not that you're chanting Hare Krishna, that's one thing, and then you've got to do something else for taking care of your heart. Now, for some people, it's a long road to realize this. Therefore, for many, they'll chant Hare Krishna and try to make a separate solution for their needs of their heart. But sooner or later, everyone will have to understand that their heart will be satisfied only by the holy name. Well, I know that many of you will feel those longings in your heart. Oh, I wish to care for someone to care for me, and to exchange mellows and flavors. Then you should think, this longing is meant for the holy name. That's why Bhaktivinoda wrote so many songs glorifying the holy name. Keno Hare Krishna Nam Hare Bolo. When will my heart seek the holy name? It's like a bird soaring in the sky. Why don't I have any taste? When will that day be mine? When I'll chant the holy name with ecstasy. This is a heartfelt emotional longing. But sometimes devotees make the mistake of, I have my emotional needs, and then there's the chanting of Hare Krishna. Now, sooner or later, one has to realize that your life is not incomplete by trying to chant the holy name in here. Chanting the holy name will solve all your emotional longings. Even if it takes you all your life to realize this, it certainly is worth it. Now, naturally, not everybody wants to penetrate to this deepest reality right away. So therefore, there are remedial measures, temporary measures that people do to try and bolster their heart. So there's four ashrams in the Vedic system, but by the time you reach the end of the line, you should be understanding at the bag end of your life, you should be understanding actually only the holy name can satisfy my heart. So whether you realize that right away or progressively, that's the direction where everything is moving in Vedic culture. But Vedic culture recognizes that not everybody can do this all of a sudden, because, well, they have other desires, and so therefore a gradual progression is arranged. So whether you choose to do it gradually or immediately, you have to learn how to take emotional shelter in the holy name.
Well, like last week, I was taking a course, and I wasn't able to go to Northern Ireland for a few days. And one morning, I was like, so busy, something like driving. And I sat crying because I was thinking about that I wasn't able to get to Northern Ireland. And that morning, when I came to the temple, I did a puja. I went to DC. My body got thirsty.
You never missed anyone before?
I don't like to miss one of ours. It was like 3 days.
What I'm saying is, just like in the material world, you can miss similarly in Krishna consciousness, you can miss seeing the deities. Simple as that?
I thought something
was wrong. Well, if you're missing seeing your deities, that's very nice. Anything else? Yeah?
I have a tendency to keep going in the sense that I don't study so much in my mind. It can be very extreme, for example. Because my parents are devotees, and I guess I've been around for a while.
Familiarity.
Yeah.
You haven't had any time in the material world?
I have, and then I've
seen the wonders.
Yeah, and I know that this is something which is very real. But I have this tendency to, but it's never, I don't normally realize it, but my mind, I'm making, I'm in judgment. And
how old?
26.
Well, you can remember something that Bhakti Siddhanta Sashakur said. He said, the only reason I see faults in others is because I have the faults more in me, and therefore I'm expert at it. How's that one? Yeah, so try that one. Having a fault-finding attitude really takes the nectar out of Krishna consciousness.
It makes it very hard.
What you can do is, as soon as you get a fault-finding thought, I neatly counter it with a positive thought. Like instead of, like, you know, you're in the lady ashram and you see, you know, one of the ladies lives in the ashram and, her. Yeah. Immediately think something positive about that person. Especially something positive that is better than what you know you can do.
Yeah.
It's always counteracted like that.
Thank you.
Also, you can utilize your fault-finding tendency to fault-find in yourself. to stand before the mirror and just, you know, criticize. Try it. Yeah, have a fault finding session every day. Yeah, for 15 minutes, stand in front of the mirror and just go for it. Now you just get tired of it. No, better you. When you have a fault-finding thought about devotees, they're to think about how they, this devotee does something so nicely that I can't do.
Because in London I know it's familiarity. This is one of the reasons why I travelled, because I just found I became quite negative. And it wasn't healthy for anybody.
Yeah, okay. Supposedly a variety is good, but sooner or later you're realizing the problem with me.
Yeah.
Right. You know, life is too short for us. Spending a lot of time fault finding. You can overcome it with transcendental power. You have to work at it. And what's wrong with working at it? You see this problem, you go at it. You struggle with it. You beg for Krishna's help. Beg for your spiritual master's help. Beg for the Vaishnava's help. And you also, you yourself, according to whatever strength you have, you try to rectify the problem. By thinking positive of someone as soon as you think something negative. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes?
At the end of the Mahabharata, Yudhishthira was explaining.
You're reading Mahabharata?
I read it last. About 3 months ago.
Not that important for us.
No. Yudhishthira was explaining more.
You get my hint. It's not that important for us. I take it you studied Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita very thoroughly. 10 times.
Yeah, I read the CC.
10 times.
Fine. I read Bhagavatam twice. But I really enjoyed the parts at the end where you just did.
So, as I was saying, he doesn't get the hint. Mahabharata is not that important for us. I mean, Prabhupada said he heard it as a child, his grandmother. Yeah. But not that he studied the Mahabharata, it's just that the stories are well known in India. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada writes that basically if you want to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, you should know Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's sufficient for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. I'm not saying don't read the Mahabharata, but I'm just saying it's not that important. And especially someone like you who's only read Chaitanya Charitamrita once. And Nectar Devotion, how many times?
Once.
What would you say, Matsapa? It's got a while to go, huh?
Yeah. Can I ask one more question?
All right.
From
go on.
From your new book?
No, you can ask Matsapa. You want to ask about the Mahabharata question. So you get on my good side by asking about something else, right? So what do you want to ask about Yudhisthira doing that?
Yeah, he was explaining as to why Gopi and the other Pandavas, why they fell off the mountain. And could you explain what
I actually have not read Mahabharata, except for Bhagavad Gita, which is the most important part of Mahabharata. And I know the stories in Mahabharata that Prabhupada tells.
I did want to ask about, you know, in your new book, there was a really interesting chapter on cases of people who had no brains. They had like one small area of gray matter,
mm-hmm.
but how they had very, very high IQs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were from England, too. You go on. Yeah, go.
I found that very interesting. An interesting composition. And I could you explain something about that?
What? You read it? What's there to explain? What's there to explain? It means, obviously, that the living entity can function even when parts of the gross body are missing. The subtle body, it is possible the subtle body to function without all the gross body there. So in those cases, a person had just 2% of the gray matter, yet the person had graduated with honors in mathematics from university. That just shows you. Scientists don't know what they're talking about. They can't explain it. Although it's a well-documented scientific knowledge that such a thing has happened. It shows you that consciousness is independent of the material body. Because consciousness is the energy of the soul. It's not like what the evolutionists say, that the brain had to evolve the way it is in order for people to think. This example shows that's totally not true. Anything else? But I must admit, people really get astounded when they hear about that. I was speaking at one engagement in Australia, in Melbourne, and one professor in the audience heard that, and he just couldn't believe it. He demanded to see the evidence right there on the spot. I said, well, I don't have it with me. It's, 40 minutes away where I'm staying. Oh, that's okay. I'll go with you. That follows me in his car, for 40 minutes, And I showed him. I just don't understand. Yeah?
How do we constantly develop great compassion for the conditioned soul to the extent of how Prabhupada wanted to give Krishna to everyone? And also, to an extent, I would say, as far as my own service in the handbook, the Krishna, when you might have difficulty, you're dealing with difficult people, or it's just a bad day, how do you constantly reassure yourself of giving them Krishna?
First of all, by doing your service out of duty, all the godly qualities will develop. And then you can help that duty process, that purification that comes from duty, by trying to care. And Krishna will help you. You have a care. Recognize that you have a caring propensity. Everybody does. And so try to execute sankirtan with that caring propensity. And meanwhile, just by doing it out of duty, the spiritual qualities will develop. So you do it out of duty, and you can also assist the duty process by emotionally investing into your service. This is what most Sankirtan devotees neglect to do, as well as most japa chanters. So when you're doing japa or kirtan or sankirtan, remember to emotionally invest of yourself in the activity. Krishna consciousness is not some kind of religious belief or dry metaphysical philosophy. Bhakti is the perfection of emotional activity. Bhakti yoga combines the head and the heart, to use contemporary lingo. It fuses the head and the heart into a powerful combination. Sometimes a few devotees have the fear that, I can see that I might spend so many years serving Krishna, but I'll neglect my heart. You've heard that before? Yeah. You've heard it before? Anyone here that heard it before? Yeah. Spend so many years serving Krishna, but what about my own heart's desires? Yeah, I think. Make sure those plugs behind you are in the wall. Yeah, just stick them all in. That's it. Bhakti yoga, when executed under guidance, will soak up all your heart energies. Don't have this paranoia at all. I'll be working in the store for so many years, I'll be doing sankirtan for so many years. What about my heart? Then I'll become old and gray, and I'll have neglected my heart, and it'll be too late. Bhakti yoga, serving Krishna, is the perfect way for you to invest your heart's energy. Now, it's true that sometimes devotees don't perform bhakti yoga properly in the guidance, and they just do it mechanically or theoretically, and they don't take shelter of the holy name, and they live like two worlds. The Hare Krishna belief world, and then their heart's desire, that's another world. But don't be a Hare Krishna believer. Be a Hare Krishna feeler. Hare Krishna thinker, feeler, and willer. Then you'll be satisfied. All right? So tomorrow is Ramachandra's appearance day. Nothing else, but tomorrow morning. You don't know anything about Ram Leela? You're reading the books? Yeah? You got up to ninth canto here?
No.
Which canto are you up to? Okay. There's some, a few verses in the second canto about Ram's pastime. Scheduled Incarnations chapter. All right. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So, after the morning program, I'm supposed to see Sharda and Carl. You wanted to see me, Sri Yashoda?
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.